27 amendments have been added to the U.S. Constitution since it was ratified in 1788. The first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, were ratified in 1791. They guaranteed the freedom of speech and religion, the right to keep and bear arms, the right to a speedy trial, among other things. Since then, there have been amendments to abolish slavery, to prohibit the sale of liquor, to grant women the right to vote, to repeal the amendment that prohibited the sale of liquor. For more on the process and historical precedent of amending the Constitution, we turn to A.E. Dick Howard. He teaches constitutional law at the University of Virginia Law School, and thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you.
Let's talk first about the process to amend the Constitution. Walk us through what has to happen.
Well, the process has several steps. The framers of the Constitution did not mean for it to be easy to amend the Constitution, and they also wanted a role for the Congress on the one hand and for the states on the other. So the steps in the process begin typically when Congress approves by two-thirds vote of both houses an amendment which they then put to the states for their ratification. It's up to Congress to decide whether the states would act through their legislatures or through state conventions. It's nearly always been the historical practice that the Congress has opted for the legislative route. So the proposed amendment then goes to the states, and the Constitution, Article 5, requires that three-quarters of the state legislatures ratify an amendment, which with 50 states would mean 38 states would have to act. So basically, two-thirds vote in the two houses of Congress, three-quarters of the states to ratify.
And there have been a number of proposed amendments that did get through Congress but then didn't get past that hurdle of the states. I wonder if you could walk us through some of those.
Well, that's right. Most of the proposals have been ratified, but occasionally some have not. An example of one that was not ratified was the so-called Child Labor Amendment during the progressive and populist movements of the early 20th century. At the time they adopted, for example, the amendment giving the vote to women, there was a constitutional amendment that would have banned child labor, and that amendment did not make it through the requisite number of states.
And of course, a lot of people will remember the Equal Rights Amendment that was sent to the states back in 1972, but expired before it was ratified.
Indeed, the Equal Rights Amendment is perhaps the most vivid example, because not only it started with a burst of enthusiasm. People, its proponents, thought that amendment would be quickly ratified, and it did achieve ratification by about half the states in the first year or two. But then the momentum slowed down, and Congress, having put a seven-year limit on the time for ratification, then by statute actually extended that time to a further 3 years, 10 years altogether. But even with the extension of time, as I recall, that amendment fell about two states short of the number required for ratification.
And then there are a whole lot of proposed amendments in Congress that never actually make it out of Congress to get to the states. There have been proposed amendments on declaring that life begins at conception, one on banning flag burning, another I read to establish the right to a home, and these basically have gone not anywhere near the process of ratification.
I think it's interesting that many of the proposals that have died in Congress, the ones that have not been put to the states for ratification, have revolved around the so-called hot-button social issues, things like abortion or school busing or questions like that. These tend to be lightning rod issues, and they obviously stroke the passions of a number of people to the point where they want to amend the Constitution to do something about it. But those are the very issues which typically die. The amendments that have in fact been ratified, except for the very important exception of the Bill of Rights themselves and the post-Civil War amendments, the typical amendment is really about structure and process, things like who gets the vote and how people are represented. The structural amendments tend to have a better time of it, I think, than what I would call the social amendments.
If you look through the amendments to the Constitution, a lot of them seem to be guaranteeing individual rights. And I wonder where you see this proposed amendment on gay marriage fitting in with that tradition. Is there another amendment that it resembles, that's passed?
This strikes me in a way as more like the Prohibition Amendment, that which is to say, rather than guaranteeing, in this case, hypothetically, the rights of gay citizens, you could imagine a gay rights amendment. That's not what this amendment is. But an amendment framed in individual terms would be more like the Bill of Rights provisions, or like the, let's say, the 14th Amendment, which limits what states can do to affect due process or equal protection. This amendment seems to be more along the line of an amendment which is aimed at shoring up some social institution, some ratifying some widely held social consensus. That was the movement that was behind the Prohibition Amendment, the notion that there ought to be, that society's morals would be better assured if that amendment were passed. And equally, the Marriage Amendment, as I understand it, would be aimed at clarifying and reinforcing the sanctity of marriage in America.
And codifying what that means.
And codifying what that means, basically to make it impossible for either state or federal law, whether legislative, court decision, or anything else, to recognize a gay marriage. It would confine marriage to its traditional relationship between a man and a woman. It would not take the next step of making it impossible for states to pass laws allowing civil unions between people of the same sex, but it would forbid a marital relationship, whether it was under state law or federal law.
Professor Howard, if you look at how historically this country has treated its own constitution and compare that with other countries and how constitutions evolve or change, where does the United States fit in on that continuum?
It's clear that the United States Constitution is much tougher to amend, to change, than virtually any country in the world. It's very typical, in fact, for most countries, Europe, for example, to allow the parliament of that country by a supermajority, something like 60%, to actually propose and adopt constitutional amendments. They indeed may not be ratified by the people at all. Constitutional change is the pattern in most of the world. France, for example, which had its revolution in 1789, has had something like 17 constitutions in the same time that we've had one. We still have our basic 1787 model. It's running very nicely, thank you, with the 27 amendments that we've talked about.
Well, Professor Howard, thanks for talking with us today.
Good to be with you.
A.E. Dick Howard teaches constitutional law at the University of Virginia Law School.